I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit unusual tonight, in the sense that I'm just going to ask you, if you would, to go ahead and close your Bibles. We're going to have quite a bit of scripture that we are going through, but they are combined type of readings, and so there is no real way for you to follow them along. A lesson that really is intended to give us an opportunity to spend some time in prayer and in scripture, even though we're a week removed from the election that is behind us. We know that we're in a country that's a lot of division, a lot of unrest. And so we've made the point already that our allegiance obviously is not to a political party. It's not to a politician, period. Our allegiance is to the Lamb. And we want to keep that focus in our lives tonight as we think about our allegiance to the Lamb and how that allows us to put our trust in God. And not in nation. Whether the election went the way that you hoped it did or did not doesn't change the fact that we are Christians and our hope is in God. And we want to go ahead and put not only our hope, but put our trust and put our prayers in to God over these very things. And so we're going to have prayers in about three different sections, along with Mason's going to lead us in several songs. It's going to be broken into sections, along with some combined readings of Scripture and just a couple of additional comments that go along with that. Mason?
Please turn to 410-410. Savior, grant me rest and peace. Let my troubled dreaming cease. With the chiming midnight bell, teach my heart that all is well. I would trust my all with thee. All my cares and sorrows flee, till the breaking light shall tell night is past and all is well. I would seek thy service, Lord, leaning on thy promise word. Let my hourly labors tell I am thine and all is well.
Apparently more division than I thought in this country. I went to take a seat and I was informed this is the young person's row. So I understood that. I just decided to infringe in their territory. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1 says that God turns the hearts of kings. It talks about God channeling kings and leaders, rulers of nations, like a river in his hand, just turning and changing the current at his will. If that's the case, then we know that his hand is involved all the time. Romans 13 tells us that God has government there for a purpose, and that there's no such thing as government that God doesn't have his hand in, Paul wrote to the Romans, and that that's why we are to be subject to every government, of course, short of them asking us to do something that's against the will of God directly. But because of that, I think that that indicates to us how diligently we ought to be involved in praying, that if God is directly involved in our government, then we ought to be asking him for the kind of involvement that is most beneficial. And that's what he tells us, even as we looked at in our class in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll read a section from that in just a moment. I love a quote by Charles Spurgeon years ago. Said, prayer is the slender nerve that moves the omnipotent muscle of God. I like that. It seems like so little on our part, but it's much more than we think. It does cause God to act and to reflex according to the things that he has told us. And so interceding is not really an option. It's a mandate by God that we need to pray. We need to pray fervently. We need to pray urgently. This particular reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, Ephesians 6, and 2 Chronicles 7. And I just want to make sure you understand, all of these readings are scripture only. I haven't inserted anything in the midst of any of these. We've just combined these readings to get a gist of how different people throughout different times have perceived these things. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives, marked by godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. For if my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. One of the great things when you're going through scripture and understanding, when we're dealing with something like political races, is that understanding that it's not kings or it's not presidents or it's not governors or mayors or congressmen of any type that are truly the authorities that are directing the affairs of life, that it is God who is directing the affairs of life. This reading comes from Romans 13, Psalm 22, Job 12, Psalm 2, and Daniel 2. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God, for kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. He makes the nations great, and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. And blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Think about the greatest needs of those who are in positions of leadership. There could be a list of them, obviously. But Solomon showed us a great deal about what God feels is good for leaders when he first started his leadership of God's people, asking God for wisdom. And I would tell you, there's nothing more that our leaders need than true wisdom. Because God talks about in James chapter 3 that there are two different kinds of wisdom. There's a wisdom from this world and evaluating things from this world's perspective, and there's a wisdom from God. James 3:17 says the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. So if wisdom is a great need, and James also says God gives it freely, should we not be pleading to our God on behalf of our leaders that they have the kind of wisdom that James describes? If you want to know things you can pray on behalf of those who lead you governmentally or in any other aspect of life, pray that they have God's wisdom. It's pure, he says. Pray that our leaders have lives that are pure, have hearts that are pure, that their counsel that they offer is pure. That's a great word, as God uses it in multiple places. It just means very singly focused. No thing besides what's supposed to be there being there. Refined. All other things have been removed. He's saying, and that's what we're praying for. Pray that they love peace. The wisdom from God is peace-loving. Pray that our leaders love peace and seek peace. Pray that they be gentle. Anybody that sits through an election year like we have this year understands gentleness is far from the quality of virtually anybody running for public office. Harsh words spoken continually. Strong things said. If they are going to lead, pray that they be strong, but they be gentle in their wisdom. James says it's open to reason. Pray that they have minds that are not closed. Minds that are open to examine that which is reasonable. Pray that they are full of mercy and good fruit. Lives that would cause the people who they are leading to want to listen to them. To want to follow them. Pray that they are impartial. That they are indeed sincere. We'll pray tonight for those that are in positions of leadership. But I think it's incumbent on all of us to pray continually for those that are in positions of leadership. And not just to pray short prayers, God bless our leaders, but get specific with God. Tell him what it is that you would like our leaders to believe and what you would like them to think. Pray that they turn their hearts toward him and make decisions that are in line with what he would have them to do. We need to pray for those who are in positions of leadership. We're going to ask Greg if he would to lead us in a prayer of that type.
So Mark had asked me to pray for our leaders, and he gave me a list by title. And one of my first reactions was, I got to pray for that guy? And which made me realize I should have been praying for that guy for some time. This morning when I got up, I found out how to contact or send an email to current President Barack Obama and President-elect Donald Trump, and also Governor Abbott, and each sent them an email telling them that we were going to be praying for them tonight and asking them if there was anything specific that they would like us to include when we go before our God. I know this is very short notice for them, and I also picture that request eventually getting to them, but the scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark where they're driving, you know, at the end through the large warehouse, you know, and you just know that's going to get pigeonholed somewhere. But it might be that I get a response. Hopefully I get responses from all three, and I'll certainly pass those on to you so that we can include those. We'd like to read I know it's a little bit early for thinking about Thanksgiving, but today I handed out turkeys because they were solid frozen at work to the employees, and did a reading on from Abraham Lincoln on when he wrote his proclamation on instituting the last Thursday. And I think that goes directly along with our topic and our prayers tonight. If you'll indulge me, you'll see that. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are of so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It seems to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benefactor, the Father, who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for a national perseverance and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the mighty hand to heal the wounds of the nation and to restore it as soon as it may be consistent with the divine purpose to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In testimony whereof, I hereto set my hand and cause the seal of the United States to be affixed. President Abraham Lincoln, Washington, D.C., October 3rd, 1863, during the middle of the Civil War. That date was set. I read something like this and go, I want guys like that as president. I don't care what party they are. Put a man like that in office, and that man has got my vote. Or even we read in history, and some of us remember, when we have protests, civil rights protesters, we have men like Martin Luther King who will lead peaceful protests while correctly quoting scripture on the injustices of the nation. We need protesters like that. We need men of God in all facets of this country. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we do come before you. We invoke your name. We invoke your blessings upon this country, specifically for the leaders that we have. We ask that you would be with the current President Obama in these final days of office. We ask that you would give him wisdom as we are going to ask for every one of our elected officials. Father, it has been said of his campaign, change that we can believe in. We ask, Father, that change that we can believe in be actually the transformation to that which is good and acceptable and perfect in your eyes. It's also been said as a campaign slogan that I'm with her. We ask, Father, that we as a people and our leaders will feel that they can say, I am with the great I am. It's also been said on protesters, all lives matter. We ask, Father, that first and foremost, that we would be a people that would say, all souls matter. Father, we ask prayers for President-elect Donald Trump. We ask this, that his shortcomings of his past, that he would turn from those, repent. We pray, Father, that that he would find humility in the winning of this election. And having found that, Father, with the slogan "Make America Great Again," we pray that instead of making America great again economically, or making America great again militarily, or making America great again by expansions of freedom, that instead we would make America great again because all would recognize that all blessings are from you. And America will be great again, Father, when we have leaders, as we've read from a former president, Abraham Lincoln, that recognized all things were from you, and to guide decisions based on that. We ask this for the leaders that we've mentioned, that whether outgoing or incoming, that decisions made on our behalf would be wise, and not in men's eyes, but wise in your eyes, that these men would pursue peace and pursue and come to you in prayer before they make decisions. Come to you in prayer first and foremost, and ask for your insight, and ask for your blessing before going forward. We pray for our governor, Greg Abbott, and for his presiding over the state of Texas. It's a state, Father, that we feel has got many great values, but yet, Father, we recognize, as we recognize in ourselves, shortcomings. And again, may you give him wisdom. For the other officials that are senators, for John Cornyn, for Ted Cruz, we ask again, as they work out the laws of this land, and they have different groups who are bringing different ideas, that again, they would weigh those on your scales and not on man's scales. For the many representatives that we have in the House, for Joaquin Castro, for Lamar Smith, for Will Hurd, Don Campbell, Jose Mendez, that again, in this House, in our land, that presides over laws, that these men and women would have wise counsel in doing so. Do so with compassion. Do so with in mercy, and do so not thinking of themselves, not taking these positions for the gain that they may get, whether it's monetarily or pride, but yet as servants, and looking to your Son as the perfect servant, Father, men and women who will wash the feet figuratively of their constituents. We again ask that all these elected officials be humble in their approach, and to love justice and do mercy and walk humbly before you. We pray this in our Lord and Savior Jesus' name. Amen.
Our next song will be number 481, 481.
Prince of Peace, control my will. Bend this struggling heart, be still. Bid my fears and doubting cease. Hush my spirit. Thou hast bought Messiahs, but peace must be. Lord, in being one with Thee, may Thy will not mine be done, may Thy will and mine be one. Chase these doubtings from my heart, now Thy perfect peace impart. Savior, at Thy feet I fall, now my life, my God, my all, let Thy happy servant be one forevermore with Thee.
Our next song will be number
729-729. Do mi so mi do. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Savior waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet in that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. Shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for a blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. Sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Mark has asked me to lead a prayer for the country, and really the country is the people. And so that is our prayer. Please bow with me. Our Lord God and Father in heaven, creator of this earth, Lord, we come before you as sojourners of this wonderful country that we call America. We recognize and thank you, Lord, that we can call ourselves citizens of this great nation, that through no fine works of our own, no fine works of our own making, we have through birth and through opportunity been blessed to find ourselves in this wonderful land. And at this time, Father, we do humbly request your mercy on this country. With the elections behind us that we've seen conducted in a democratic and in a lawful process, for which we also offer you thanks, we beseech you now, Father, and we plead with you that Americans, citizens of this land, will not come together. We pray, Father, that we might find peace and reconciliation. We pray, Father, that the peoples of America can unify with each other, they can practice and promote understanding and compassion. Father, may we as a nation come together, most of all fearing your awesome being and presence. May we all turn to you, Father, for moral and spiritual guidance, so that we all have the desire to work together. May our people work together, Father, live together, love each other as neighbors should and do. May we cherish law and order and good governance, institutions, Lord, that you in your wisdom have put in place for mankind. Father, we pray that we may be a fitting example of good citizenship. First and foremost, that we may glorify you, but also as a nation that we might be an example for generations of Americans still to come, as long as you may give us examples for other countries and other nations around the world. Lord, may we, as Americans, make the most of the rich gifts that you have blessed us and provided us with. May we continue to be a charitable nation, a nation for good, a nation for peace. Most of all, may we be a nation that returns to you, our most high and sovereign Lord. We pray this, Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Greg mentioned not always easy to pray for certain people. And as he said that, I thought about Paul's instruction to Timothy and who it was that Timothy was being asked to pray for. Nero was in power at that time. And if Timothy could pray for Nero, we certainly can pray on behalf of both those that we are in agreement with and those that we're not. So we appreciate very much that prayer on behalf of leaders leaving and leaders who are coming in. The statement that he read from Abraham Lincoln indicated that it isn't because of who we are that we have these incredible blessings, even as Rob just prayed. These good fortunes, these good blessings are not because we're good people, because we've done such wonderful things to deserve them. Thank you. I was getting the I can't hear sign. Not because we're so good, not because of the wonderful things that we've done, but because God is gracious to us in spite of the things that we do, and that he does show mercy, and that he does show kindness. The first two Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And if we're going to have peace in this country, reconciliation amongst people, there is no quality that is more needed than humility on the part of all. A willingness to understand who we truly are. The second beatitude is blessed are those that mourn. I love the way that those are staged as they go through, because blessed are the poor in spirit is me recognizing who I am. Blessed are the mourn is how I feel about who I am. Do I mourn the sin? Do I want to change? And that's what it takes. Listen to this reading from Isaiah 1 and Daniel 9. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children I have reared and brought up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but my people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. They have forsaken the Lord. They've despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. Does that not sound like it could have just as easily been written? Our country, our time. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy. With fasting and sackcloth and ashes, I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keeps His commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from Your commandments and rules. We have not listened to You, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame. As at this day, those who are near and those who are far away in all the lands to which You've driven them because of the treachery that they have committed against You. And I read those words and I'm reminded of Nehemiah, who prayed a similar prayer about Jerusalem and having stated, I and my fathers have sinned. I don't know if you remember that in Nehemiah's prayer. I and my fathers have sinned. That was the reason Jerusalem was in the condition that it was in. He understood that it was sin. The odd thing is, Nehemiah had never, ever seen Jerusalem. He was born and raised in captivity. He in no way could have been directly responsible for the condition of the city of God. And yet, he was willing to accept responsibility because blame is not the issue for God's people. It's acknowledgement that we all fall short and we should all mourn that as we seek to draw closer. There are things to be learned from Ezekiel chapter 22 when he wrote these words. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not destroy it. But I found no one. We are to be the ones who are standing in the gap. We are the ones who petition our God on behalf of the land, because we certainly have no guarantee that God would not allow this country to come to complete demise the way others have as well. May we stand in the gap on behalf of our nation with all of its faults, with all of its shortcomings, and pray that God continues to work in our midst. Psalm 67 and Proverbs 2 read, Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Selah. Let the people praise You, O God. Let all the people praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Yet give attention to Your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, Lord my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that Your servant is praying in Your presence this day. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chooses for His inheritance. That's the country. So what's our role? We prayed for the leaders. We prayed for the country, its citizens, for reconciliation, for peace. But what about the church? I think it's critical for us to understand that the same power that broke the chains that bound some of God's people, the same power that raised Lazarus from the dead, the same power that parted the Red Sea, the same power that healed people who were blind, delivered the delirious from the demons with which they were possessed, that same power is at work today through God's people. The power of God has never changed. Amen. We're never left to fend for ourselves. We don't have to wrestle and worry, be consumed with fear, because God reminds us He is in control. He has never lost control. He will never lose control. He will help us. And He promises us His plans will prevail. Well, so what's that mean to us? We're His people. A people He describes as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He says a people for His own possession. For what purposes? That we may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called us out of darkness and into light. The whole function of government is to provide peace so that the Word of God has a chance to spread. In Philippians 4 and 1 John 5 and Zechariah 4, these words are recorded. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Psalm 62, 37, and 118. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong, for like grass they shall soon fade away. Like spring flowers they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him and He will help you. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for Him to act. It's better to be godly and have a little than evil and be rich. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along His path. Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace, but the rebellious will be destroyed, and they have no future. Incredible words from God through multiple of His people as we think about the power that God wields in this world. And He says, what I need from you is to be godly. Live lives that show the world who God is. There is no greater way that we can lead those around us than to show them what Jesus Christ was like when he walked on this earth.
Can you count the stars of evening that are shining in the sky? Can you count the clouds that daily over all the world go by? God the Lord, who doth not slumber, keepeth all the boundless number, but he careth more for thee, but he careth more for thee. Can you count the birds that warble in the sunshine all the day? Can you count the little fishes that in sparkling waters play? God the Lord their number knoweth, for each one his care he showeth. Shall he not remember thee? Shall he not remember thee? Can you count the many children in their little beds at night, who without a thought of sorrow rise again at morning light? God the Lord, who dwells in heaven, loving care to each has given. He has not forgotten thee. He has not forgotten thee.
Next song will be number 483.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Hast and shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia.
Song of Invitation will be number 409. 409.
We've talked about our leaders and prayed for them. We've talked about our country and prayed for them. We've talked about us, the Lord's church. Let's pray on our behalf. Father, we know that you do indeed look for somebody to stand in the gap, to be the go-between between you and this country and this world in which we live. And we pray, Father, that we might be the one who's willing to stand in that gap. That our love for you would cause us to be strong, to stand fast in the things that we know that are true, even when those things are unfavorable. And yet, to be lovingly strong, to show the very attitude of Jesus as we take our stand on truth. May we never waver or shy away from truth, but may we always be a loving people, trying to show the kindness and gentleness and mercy to those that are around us. We know that we fall woefully short, and for that we do truly mourn. But we know that you forgive us, and in that we rejoice greatly. In doing so, may we always be meek as we reach out to the world around us. May we understand that though we may disagree strongly and severely with people around us and their ideologies, their lives, may we understand that they are souls. Souls that are precious. Souls that our Savior died for just as much as he died for ours. We have been given incredible freedoms in this country and great freedom in Jesus Christ. May we take the freedoms that we have in this country and do all that we can to help free those around us who are still in the bondage of sin. We thank you that you've given us the power to overcome, as well as forgiveness, to be able to put those things behind us. May we submit to our government. May we love all. May we stand strong for you and your will. We pray these things through your Son, Jesus, and our Savior. And amen. It's tough a lot of times to even know what to pray, especially even as you think about leaders and country and things of that nature. But don't stop praying. Paul told the Romans, God knows that there are times we really don't know what to say. Groanings that are on our heart and on our mind and things that we're not sure how to put into words. But he says, pray. The Spirit is there. And he takes those things before God himself. The scriptures say he intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And that's where we are sometimes. The invitation is extended this way. It's not a normal invitation, but I'm going to have one more reading. It's out of Romans 8, Ephesians 3, Psalm 46, and Romans 12. And to me, it's the kind of thing that if you read that, how could you not be stimulated to want to follow God? We'll have this reading, and then Mason will lead us in the song. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Amen. Mason?